How are designers like us supposed to know where to begin every project? What questions to ask? Selecting materials, how to spec processes, how to be sustainable? If you're asking these questions, this show's the answer. All right, packaging peeps, I've got a special message from our sponsor, IDPDirect.com. If you want a more transparent supply chain and color consistency across your entire retail packaging program, check out IDPDirect.com. Not only do they make some of the most beautiful luxury retail packaging around the world, they're factory direct, meaning you speak directly with the factory making your packaging, not a middleman. Check out IDPDirect.com and schedule a consultation anywhere in the world near you. IDPDirect.com. Okay, so Dave R. from a cosmetic brand in San Francisco reached out to me to ask me, what's the best way to set up a file for print production? Bad files are going to cost you money. Having manufactured over 100 million bags and boxes, I'm sharing a quick checklist to set up your packaging files for production success. All right, so first off, you've got die lines. Die lines are going to be cut lines and fold lines, right? Where your paper's going to get cut and where the paper's going to get folded. You want to make those in two different colors. And when I'm talking about two different colors, you want to create spot colors. So you want to go to your color panel, you want to make them, you want to select die lines as like a red and your fold lines as a green, for example. Each of those are going to be their own spot color. So when you click on it, it'll say fold line. It won't say CMYK and give you a variation of colors for each of those. It's going to be a spot color for red and a spot color for green. The second thing you're going to do is you're going to take all your fold lines and you're going to put those on one layer. All your die lines, all your cut lines are going to be on a separate layer. And the reason you want to do that is depending on what equipment they're using to create your prototypes or make your dies, sometimes they just need to laser out the cut line or the fold line, and you don't want those to get confused. So setting up those as two separate layers is going to be definitely the best way to go. Next, you got to name your layers, cut and fold. That's it. Keep it really simple. After that, you want to go ahead and create a new layer. So now you're going to have three layers. You got your cut, your fold, and your artwork layer. And that artwork layer, that's where you're going to place all of your photos, all of your graphics, all of your copy, all the information that's going on the pack, that is artwork. When you think about that, just think of what's being printed in one process. That's what's going to go there. Your production facility, your manufacturer, they don't care that your copy is one color and your image is a different color. It's all being printed on one machine. So you got to make sure that that's all on one layer. Let them do the separations for the colors. This is going to avoid either lost artwork or overprinting artwork that shouldn't be there. So make sure you've got three layers, cut, fold, and art. Next, now that you've got artwork on your art layer, go ahead and make sure that your colors are set up for CMYK. Do not use RGB images, right? This is the one thing that drives people crazy when they open up your files to go to production is you've got a file that's RGB. That's going to be an image that's using red, green, and blue versus cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. And what happens is when your manufacturer changes that RGB image to CMYK, those colors that you saw before and you were expecting to get are going to really dull down. So make sure that you've got CMYK selected. The best way to check that is go up to your Windows, hold down your separations preview, click on separations preview. There's a little button there. It'll show you all the colors that are being used in your file. So the colors that you should see in there are CMYK. You're also going to see a red one for your die cuts and a green one for your fold lines. Right? Anything else that you've added, you're going to see there as well. But anything else that you see there that's not CMYK or is not the red and the green from the fold and the cut lines, check those off, turn those on and off, and see what part of your artwork is a different color. And if you have RGB images or have any element of, say, type, for example, that is an RGB, turning off the RGB in that separations is going to show you what artwork is RGB and what artwork you've got to fix. So it's just a really quick way to check your work. You've got three layers, cut, fold, art, and you've got your art in that layer. With packaging, there's always additional inline and offline processes that happen. That's going to be your varnishes. If you're going to have a spot varnish, that's typically done in line. So in the same machine that they're printing CMYK, they'll just add another color to that, which is just going to be a varnish. If they've got a six-color machine, that is a separate layer. You're going to create a new layer for those inline or offline additional processes. That's going to be your varnishes. That's going to be your spot colors. That's going to be your foils, your hot stamping, your debosses, embosses. You know, all these different processes that are available, you know, whatever it is that they're adding to it, that has to be a separate layer. And whatever you're adding to it, if you're doing an emboss, for example, pick a new spot color that you're not already using. So say a bright blue, for example, make that a spot color, name that color emboss. If you're doing a deboss, name that color deboss. And then in your layer, when you add that to the layer, make sure you name your layer emboss only. Do not print. Right? Just another note, as what happens is when they do the separations, that artwork is going to come out with a new film, and the top of the film is going to say, emboss only, do not print. It helps them make the right decisions. And, you know, a lot of companies today are doing direct to print. I mean, this is pretty old fashioned now, going to film. But if you're going to print, it goes, the plate comes out and it says on there, do not print. So if they were accidentally going to put something on there, it'll help them catch themselves as well. You know, so next after that, little details. You know, do you have a barcode on your packaging? You got a barcode, make sure that barcode is set to 100% black. Do not click on that and see the CMYK when you're in that separations preview. Turn off all your black. If you see a barcode up there in any other color that's not black, you've got to fix that, right? What happens is when you print those, there's going to be some little registration issues. It's going to end up being like a furry, out of focus barcode that when you go to scan it, you might have scanning issues. So make sure it's 100% black so you get the crispest lines in there. Now, when we're talking about blacks, if you've got copy or if you've got images that use black, one thing that you can do is you can build a black and make it really rich. So instead of having a black background where you hover over it in the image and you see that it's 100% black and maybe 10% of magenta and 5% of cyan or whatever, adjust that file, adjust that image to make sure that black is going to be rich. And what you're going to do is you're going to do a 60-40-40-100. That's 60 for cyan, 40 for magenta, 40 for yellow, and 100 for black. Now, with photography, sometimes it's a little difficult to do that. You can go to your levels and you can go into your curves and you can adjust the colors and get close to that. It's going to help boost those blacks and help the contrast, right? Because when you print, if you're printing on an uncoated sheet, that paper is going to absorb that color and it's going to really dull it down. So you want to make sure that you're punching that color as hard as you possibly can. And that's the one way to do it. Right? You want those blacks to be rich and add contrast. So make sure that you're using 60-40-40, 100. Next, what you're going to do is you're going to package your file. So you're going to go up to File, Package. You're going to package up your file. You're going to include all of your linked images. Don't embed images. Make sure that they're linked. And then make sure that you're collecting all of the fonts because you're not going to outline your copy yet. Right? You're going to set that up so you've got a packaged file of an AI file, all of your linked images in a folder, all of your fonts in a folder. And when you send that to mass production, when you send that to a production facility, what they're going to do is they're going to open that up. All the links are going to be there. If the links are broken, they'll find the links in there. If those aren't in there, they're going to reach out to you. So make sure that all of your links are in that folder and that all of your images are CMYK. Make sure that all your fonts are in there as well. And the reason you don't want to outline fonts right now is because when they send you a production proof and you see that there's a typo or you see that, you know, you've got to change copy or whatever has to happen with copy, which typically tends to happen at least once or twice, you want to be able to make that adjustment quickly to an already processed file. You don't want to have to go back to your original file, make the edit, and then send them a new file because you had outlined it previously. So make sure you don't outline those files, package those files up, send that off to them. And I typically like to work in Illustrator because if I'm working in Asia or Europe, here in the US, when I send those files out, they're all going to be familiar and they're all going to be comfortable with outputting files out of Illustrator. A lot of times I see things coming in from InDesign, and depending on which country you're using or working with, InDesign files might not be the best. Just as a quick note there. Then once you've got something that's approved and you're ready to go, then you go ahead and outline those files, you sign those off, and then you're ready to run. One last thing I would add is if you're doing four-color process, make sure that you've got some type of an Epson proof. One thing to note with Epson proofs is that you are printing it with 8 to 12 different colors, right? Your amazing inkjet printer that you're using, all those little cartridges in there, it's not just cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. You've got light cyan, dark cyan, medium cyan, you got all these variations. Those don't exist in production. So make sure that when you're outputting those proofs, you're using only cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. And then even when that comes out, make sure that you realize that color that you're hitting there, that's a target. It's not a given. They're not going to hit that color 100% of the time. So just make sure that you're setting your own expectations, working with them, ship that sample to them so that they've got at least a target. And they know that your sky isn't supposed to be too purple or too pink. It's supposed to be a specific type of a blue. That gives them some direction. It'll make your life a million times easier. It'll make your manufacturer super happy and more willing to work with you in future projects. All right. So if you have any questions on how to set up packaging files, shoot me a message like Dave did. You know, connect it with me on LinkedIn. I'll answer it here or in a future podcast. Go ahead, reach out. I'm happy to answer any questions regarding packaging. All right. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for joining us on the show. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the Packaging Podcast. That way, you can get an insightful podcast every day. The Packaging Podcast is hosted by me, Evelio Matos. If you enjoyed the show, pay it forward by rating and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts. It'll help grow the show and support our growing audience. Thanks again for listening. We'll talk soon.